Okay. Good morning, Ms. Hunt.
Good morning.
The first set of questions are background questions, and these are just to give some history about you as a person. The first question is, when and where were you born?
Richard, I was born in Northeast Roanoke. I don't remember the area of Northeast, but my mother told me it was Northeast Roanoke.
Yes, ma'am.
And we moved early to 6th Avenue Northwest.
Ms. Hunt, were you born in a house?
At home, yes.
Okay, all right. And what year were you born?
1930. Don't tell nobody.
No, ma'am, you don't look it either. And you say you were born in Northeast Roanoke and then you moved to 6th Avenue?
No, well, it's Harrison Avenue, but
yes,
we
ma'am.
Called it 6th Avenue back then.
Yes, ma'am. And so that's in Gainesboro.
Yes.
And were there other streets that you lived on in Gainesboro when you were growing up?
After we moved from 6th Avenue, we moved to 7th Street. And that's just below Burrow. You know where
yes,
that
ma'am.
Is.
Okay.
And that's where I spent the rest of my days.
Okay. The third question is, tell me about your parents and your brothers and sisters.
All right. My parents were Samuel and Susan Nicholas. My mother was a homemaker. My father, during my early years, was a bellman at Patrick Henry Hotel.
Okay.
Later years, he was employed at Norfolk and Weston, where he remained until he retired. I had one brother, and there were three girls besides me.
Okay.
There were five of us in
five
all.
Of you.
Five of us in all.
Now, Ms. Hunt, when you after your father got the job at Norfolk Southern, did he work a second job, or was that, did he?
No, he did not work a second job.
He just worked in Norfolk Southern.
I used to hear him say that if you used what you made well, you didn't need the second job.
Okay, all right. Did you have extended family living near you when you were growing up in Northwest Roanoke?
Not near us, but I had an aunt who lived with us.
I see.
And in her later years, she had to come back to Roanoke to live with me, and she passed here in Roanoke. We had other relatives on McDowell and Chestnut.
Chestnut, okay.
My mother's sisters.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. And did you frequent their houses?
All the time.
Okay.
All the time. It was just almost a daily thing.
Okay.
You know, Reggie, we had no place to go other than to visit relatives.
Yes, ma'am.
Go to school, go to church, and visit relatives.
Yeah.
So it was almost a daily occurrence with them, and we were very close together.
Yeah. It was a close community.
Yes, it was. Very close.
Yes, ma'am. Describe your house for us on Harrison. Was it a brick house?
No, it was a wood house, a two-story house, not very well kept. It was very cleanly kept by my parents, but the house was not of that.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Did your parents have a garden, or did you have a garden growing up?
No, not. We had a garden when we got to 7th Street.
Okay.
Our backyard was mostly garden.
Okay.
We had a coal house that we had chickens in. We called it a hen house.
Mm-hmm.
And my father even rented a lot off of 8th Street where he would go and plant. You know, have a garden. With five children back then, you had to have a garden.
You had to have a garden, yes,
because
ma'am.
You had to can food.
I see.
And run the garden, the table during the summer, then put up the stuff for the winter.
Yeah.
We had fruit trees in the yard.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I can see the damson tree now. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Cherries.
Okay. And you had chickens. Did you have to wring chicken neck?
I never could do that.
You never could do that?
I never could do that, but I watched my daddy do that.
Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. Okay.
But I couldn't do that.
Okay.
And then they would hang them on the clothesline, you know, so they would finish doing whatever they had to do before we could take them in the house.
Okay. Growing up, Ms. Hunt, what type of activities were you involved in?
Most of our activities centered around the school.
Okay.
And, of course, the Y. I was a Girl Scout, a Y team. And, of course, being so fond of music, I was always in the church choirs.
Mm-hmm.
And then the school choirs. And we would do our little traveling, you know, going around. But I was participating in about everything they had around town.
Yeah.
I just enjoyed doing that.
Yeah.
And see, all around here, First Baptist Church, the Y across the street, I'm trying to visualize where I was.
Yes, ma'am.
And all of the activities we participated in.
Yes, ma'am. Now, what's the earliest age that you knew you loved music?
It must have been very early because my father tells me that I used to, at the table, when we would be eating, tap on the table and yes, he would hit my hands to stop. I just think I always wanted to play the piano. And I guess from a little girl, but I guess I got really into the serious study of music around third or fourth grade. Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, were you in the band? No, what elementary school did you go to when you were in the
school? Harrison.
Harrison, okay. Uh-huh. They had a band? Was there a band at the school at that time?
No, just a little rhythm band.
Yes, ma'am.
But they had a little choir, you know, little okay. choirs. And I always tried to get in the choirs right. to sing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you have piano lessons when you were growing up?
Oh, yes.
Okay, now about what age did that start?
I imagine I was about 8 or 9.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. About 8 or 9. I started as a little girl with Mrs. Moore.
I see.
Mrs. George Moore, I think it was. Then later I went to Miss Audrey Whitlock.
Whitlock, yeah.
Then to Miss Alta Mae Thompson.
I see. Oh, okay.
And I ended up in Roanoke with Mr. Troy Gorham.
Oh, okay.
Do you know of
him? No, ma'am. I never heard of him.
Well, he was on Patton Avenue Northeast. I don't know. We called him Professor Gorham.
I see.
And by that time, I was in high school and ready to finish high school.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Now, about what age did you start playing in the church?
I was a young girl. I guess a teenager, I would say 15 or 16.
15 or 16. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. Now, your father worked for the railroad. Did your mother work?
No, she didn't work outside the home. But I tell you what, Reggie, she did what we call took in washing and ironing.
I see. Oh, okay.
She washed and ironed. I can remember people bringing baskets of clothes to our house.
Okay.
On Sunday evenings, bring these clothes, and she would wash them and iron them. Okay. I can remember carrying some of them back.
Yeah.
That was how she made her little income.
Yes, ma'am.
And believe it or not, that little money she would take and pay for, like my piano lessons.
Yeah.
And she was buying a piano.
Yes, ma'am.
Paying $1 a month, I think, something like that on it. But that's what she did.
What she did. So now for younger folk who will listen to this tape, your mother didn't have a whirlpool washer and dryer to wash these clothes with, right?
No.
Describe to us how she.
Well, now she did have what did we call the washing machine?
A ringer?
Yeah, ringer type machine.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
All right. But that was all.
That was all.
And you rinse them in the sink.
Mm-hmm.
And then you carried them out in the backyard and hung them up on the line.
Yeah.
And she did that year after year after year.
Yeah.
In all types of weather.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, cold weather, those clothes went out on the line.
Yes, right.
You didn't have any dryers.
Right.
You couldn't dry them in the house. So she carried them outdoors in the backyard where there were line after line to hang them up.
And there, at the time, again, so this younger generation will understand this, there were no steam irons.
Oh, no, you put them on the coal stove and let them get cold, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
Let them get hot. Listen to me, let them get cold.
Yes, ma'am.
Let them get hot and then you iron.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. So that was, that was strenuous work.
It was hard
yes,
work.
Yes, ma'am.
It was hard work.
Yes, ma'am.
And I have seen my mother, you know, just iron almost all day and night, maybe take a few moments and lay on the sofa and then get back up and start ironing again.
Yes,
but
ma'am.
Almost running the laundry from the house.
From the house, yes, mm-hmm. ma'am. And some of those funds went to pay for your piano lessons and
yes,
to buy a piano.
Yes,
ma'am.
Yes. And she continued that on through the time I was in college, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
Doing that because you had to pay for all these extra lessons, you know,
yes, ma'am,
by the music and things.
Yes, ma'am.
But she was a good mother.
She was a good mother.
Yes, yes.
And with parents working like that, you learned a strong work ethic,
yes,
in your life.
Yes, yes.
Yes, ma'am.
That work didn't hurt anybody.
That's right.
And certainly didn't kill nobody.
Yes, ma'am.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. But the next heading is education. So tell me about your school life growing up in Roanoke.
My school life was very pleasant. I've always loved school.
Okay.
I've loved school. I liked kindergarten. Well, kindergarten back then, you know, was almost unheard of. But I did go to Miss Gertrude Jones's kindergarten. Miss Jones has been gone many, many, many years.
That's right.
But then Richard was related to her. Richard Jones.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Was his aunt.
Oh, yeah.
And you would know Richard.
Yes, ma'am.
But I went to Harrison Elementary.
Okay.
And from there, we went to what we called, was it Addison Annex? We didn't go straight to Addison.
I see.
We did the 7th and 8th grade, I think, in one end of Harrison School before
oh, okay.
we went into the big building.
Oh, I see.
And then we went to Addison.
Yes, ma'am.
And from there, I went to Virginia State.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that has been just about the extent of it.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Now, Virginia State, you were a music major?
Music major, public school music. Yes.
Public school music. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when you finished Virginia State, you came back to Roanoke. Did you seek employment in Roanoke City?
Not right away. When I first finished Virginia State, I went to Farmville, to Prince Edward County.
Okay.
At Murray Branch Elementary School.
Yes, ma'am.
Everybody says, did you go to R.R. Moden? You know where.
Yes, ma'am.
R.R. Moden was across the street, but I was at the elementary school.
Okay.
And I stayed there for 2 years.
Okay.
And then I came to Roanoke. I was off 2 years, and then I came into the Roanoke system in 55.
In 1955.
1955. Mm-hmm.
And so you came into, you started teaching in Roanoke 1 year after Brown versus Board of Education, after the...
But I was out during those years. See, I had married and I had come to Roanoke. That's when Donna was born.
Donna was born, okay.
Yes, okay,
ma'am.
That's when I was off those 2 years.
Oh, okay, I see. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. All right. Well, of course, later in Prince Edward County, of course, after... with massive resistance in Virginia, the public schools were closed. What was it like teaching in Prince Edward County in the early 1950s?
It was nice during that time. Uh-huh.
Okay.
You know, it was completely segregated,
yes,
and we
ma'am.
Thought nothing about that.
Okay.
I lived there on Main Street right across from Mary E. Branch. And, of course, the church that was so active in the movement,
yes,
First
ma'am.
Baptist, Reverend Griffin, all of those, was down at the foot of the hill.
Oh, I see.
And it was quite a peaceful little town.
I see. What about the facilities? Were the facilities, the Brown decision said separate was inherently unequal. Were the facilities?
Well, see, we really didn't know what was over in the other part of
yes,
town.
Yes, ma'am.
We just accepted what we had
yeah.
over there on our side of town.
I see.
And I can't say that.
Yes, ma'am.
But we just accepted what we
well,
had.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And I can recall even at Mary Branch, we had music in the auditorium.
Okay.
I actually taught on the stage.
Oh, okay.
That was the area that the children come to. And there were times during bad rainy weather that, you know, water would trickle down the wall.
Yes,
yeah.
ma'am. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Did the children have to buy instruments, or were they supplied by the school system?
No, the children didn't have to buy any instruments.
Okay.
During that time, they were so menial that we just used what we had, you know.
I see.
And we concentrated more on the singing than the instrumental.
Yes, ma'am.
So we didn't have to be bothered with the instruments
as
such.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay, that's interesting. That's interesting.
See, the singing, you got your own instrument.
Yes, ma'am.
The natural instrument.
The instrument God gave you.
That's right.
Okay. Now, Ms. Hunt, how long did you teach in the Roanoke City Public Schools?
For 34 years. I retired in 89.
In 1989.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What school did you start off teaching when you got to Roanoke?
I went to Booker T. Washington.
Okay.
I stayed at Booker T. for... until we integrated in, what was it, 69?
Yes, ma'am.
Then I went to Monroe Junior High School.
Okay.
And I stayed there until Addison closed, and we came back down to Addison as junior high school.
Okay.
And what was that, 72 or 73?
Yes, ma'am. I think it was 73.
73, that's okay. Right.
Mm-hmm. And you stayed at Addison until you retired?
That's right.
Oh, really?
I stayed on this side of town, Reggie. I worked on this side of town.
Okay.
In this area all of my life.
Yes,
Booker
ma'am.
D. Washington, up to Monroe, and back down to Addison.
Yeah.
And so this area I know and I love.
Okay.
And the people of this area.
Yes, ma'am.
So when I go into Kroger store and Rand, I just see everybody. That I know that I love it.
It's a community.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. So Charles Day the principal over at Addison?
No. He was at the senior
high school. That's right.
And when it became junior high school, it had integrated, and we had a white principal when I went there.
Yes, ma'am.
John Garber. Never shall forget him. A very lovely, very fine fellow.
Oh, okay. Good. Mm-hmm. So at Addison, up until, 69. Oh, you went to Monroe Junior when you left Booker T.
When I left Booker T.
Okay.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Now in Monroe Junior at that time, was that still predominantly white?
And it was at the beginning a terrible experience.
Okay.
It was unpleasant. I went there in choral music, and Mr. Polk was in instrumental.
Yes,
you remember,
ma'am.
Mr.
Yes,
J.D. Polk?
I remember J.D. Polk.
And you know, it was not good at all because they did not want us there.
I see.
And I think the neighborhood did not want us there either.
Yes, ma'am.
And there was always something going on.
I see.
And I recall that.
Hold on. Okay, it started back up again. I apologize.
That's okay.
I remember how the white parents were bringing back band uniforms and things, turning them in when they found out, you know, that we were there.
Oh, yes,
that the teachers were going to be black.
Right. Yeah.
And that went on for a while, and we endured it.
Yes, ma'am.
And then things seemed to just started to smooth out.
Okay.
And by the time we were ready to come back to Addison, we really didn't want to leave Monroe. And I met some very, very fine people there.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I see a family now that had a lot of children there who were quite supportive.
Okay.
And we talk of those days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So initially, it wasn't that good of an experience, but over time,
it grew to
right.
be better. Uh-huh.
Do you think you and Mr. Polk and the other black teachers that were there, that as people got to know you, and
to find out that we were for real and that we weren't going to harm
the children. Yes,
that's
ma'am.
Right. And that we loved children and loved our work too.
Yes, ma'am.
And they became very supportive.
Yes. Okay. All right.
But the day that I walked up that walk in August of 69, I said to myself, if I had any way to support my child and myself, I would go in this building today.
Yes, ma'am.
But when it was time to leave it, I had a totally different feeling.
Yes, ma'am. So it turned out to be a good experience
yes.
and a good learning
yes.
experience. Mm-hmm. Well, it's good that people like you and Mr. Polk were there to do that.
This is true.
Yes, ma'am.
We accepted the insults and the remarks at that
right.
time, but just persevered and kept going.
Yes, ma'am.
And it soon
won the people over. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Coach Dan and I were talking about the whole phenomenon of Jackie Robinson integrating baseball, and he wasn't the most athletic guy. There were other men in the baseball league who could play better, but he can endure the insults.
That's
and
true.
So he became the trailblazer.
Yes.
And in many ways, I look at people like Charles, people like you, as being able to endure, as you said.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then that affects social change. You have to have certain types of people that can do that, who are competent, but also have the character, I guess you would say.
Yeah, the wherewithal or something to accept it.
Accept that, yes, ma'am.
And sometimes you would go in at the end of the day feeling quite down.
Yes, ma'am.
But for some reason, we would get it and go back the next morning ready to go again.
Well, good. Well, you guys were trailblazers, and you really changed things. One question on here. Did anyone else in your family attend college?
Well, now let me get this straight. Yes. In my immediate family, my brother, went to Bluefield State, my sister Jean and Jackie were nurses, and they were at St. Philip's in Richmond.
Yes, ma'am.
They are both deceased. My sister Norma went to St. Paul. She did not finish.
Okay.
But all of us had some college.
Yes, ma'am.
My parents were great believers in education.
Well, that was my next question, was education.
It was a priority.
Priority in your family.
They had limited education, but they believed that we should have it, and they worked hard.
Yes, ma'am.
And really, all of us did get some very good training. All of us had college experience. All of us didn't finish.
Yes, ma'am.
But we had two registered nurses, a physical therapist, and a music teacher. And the one that didn't finish was a very, very good cook.
Yes, ma'am.
Seamstress, she could do everything. Mm-hmm. But she did not finish St. Paul.
And your parents encouraged both the girls and your
yes,
brother to go.
Yes, yes.
So it wasn't that we were going to focus on him and
everybody had their turn.
Yes, ma'am.
And we came on down the line. Everybody took their turn.
Yes, ma'am.
And it was just never thought of that you weren't going any further than high school, than Addison.
So it was an expectation.
That's right. It was like grade 13.
Yes, ma'am.
Was coming up next year.
And did you find that the priority of education was reinforced, like in the church and the broader community?
Oh, it was. Emphasis was put upon education everywhere we went.
Yes, ma'am.
And now you take my church. I grew up right over here in Hill Street.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm still there. But you know, it was on Peach Road.
Yes, ma'am.
And MacDowell. My pastor. They encouraged us every step of the way. And he even let me play for services when I couldn't play.
Yeah, I see.
And make mistakes. And with stopping crack, he'd make you start again, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
And everybody made us. It was expected of us.
Yes, ma'am.
And our teachers and our preachers and everybody told us, you're going to be somebody.
Yeah.
And that's why we were able to achieve graduate, because the expectations were high.
Yeah.
And we were highly encouraged.
Yes, ma'am. So it was a community.
Yes. Everybody. Everybody.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, and that, you can sort of contrast that with today, where I think that's one of the things that are missing for especially young African-American
youth. It is. Everywhere we went, if you went to get your hair done, if you went to the barbershop, if everywhere you went, they expected you to do well.
Yes, ma'am.
And they did not take anything less than that.
Yeah.
And so we strove to do that.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Well, that was good motivation. And when you hear someone like Hillary Clinton say that it takes a village to raise a child, having grown up in that type of environment, I know exactly what she meant, and you know it as well. And again, the collective body has to encourage certain values.
All right, now you take, your mother was the librarian.
Yes, ma'am.
Harrison. Donna, my daughter Donna was there. They got out before I got out at Booker T.
Yes, ma'am.
Donna would go to the library. I don't know whether you remember, right?
Yes,
home,
ma'am.
With your mother?
Mother, yeah.
When I got home, I call up, I'm home, and down the hill, Donna would
come. Yes, ma'am. That's
you see,
right.
That's the type of support we had.
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't have to have my child going in the house with a key around her neck.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
She was in the library until I got home.
Got home, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's a real supportive environment.
Yes.
I mean, that, and so you have a group norm that you're going to do something.
My mother
would always say that everybody... God gave everybody the ability to do something. So if you couldn't go to college, you could do something with your hands.
That's right. There was something for you to do.
And there was a collective community expectation.
And everybody worked together.
Yes, ma'am.
Everybody worked together.
Yes, ma'am.
That's why we could walk around and leave our houses unlocked and doors unlocked. And nobody, because everybody was like one big family.
Big family. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. When you were coming up, Ms. Hunt, describe your home life. For example, did you and your siblings gather around the radio to listen to stories or listen to programs actually on the radio when you were growing up?
Yeah, that was all we had. You know, we didn't have any television,
yes,
nothing
ma'am.
Like that. We would gather around the radio and listen to certain stories. Let me see. I can't even recall them now. Some of them I can remember on the radio. And we would do little things like to entertain ourselves.
I see.
Like have a talent show.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, uh-huh. You do what you could do and I do what I could do. And we just stayed in the yard and played around the house. Because you couldn't go out the yard now. You have to stay in the yard. And we'd run around in the yard so until it was hard like cement. You know,
yes,
the ground was hard as cement. And you could sweep it with a broom.
Didn't a lot of grass grow there.
You could sweep with a broom. It was hard as cement. But we were just really there together.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
And we enjoyed ourselves together.
Mm-hmm. And y'all were creative in finding
things to do to entertain yourself.
That's
right. Yeah. Have programs. And I would sing and somebody else would dance. You know, we'd just do things. You didn't have any money to do anything else with. We could go to the Virginia Theater on Saturday afternoons.
Yes, ma'am.
But other than that, you entertained yourself.
Yes, ma'am.
And entertained each other.
All right. Do you remember growing up when you got your first telephone or refrigerator or icebox?
That's funny. When we got our first telephone, when the telephone would ring, we would knock each other down running by the house.
Yes, ma'am.
And the same thing was about Venetian blinds, I remember. We were just so excited when we got Venetian blinds.
Oh, okay.
Because that was something really nice at the window, and we would go and open and close them, you know, with the car.
Yes, ma'am.
But we enjoyed the telephone more than anything. When it would ring, everybody would run to answer it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And did your friends get phones around the same time? So,
well, see, we had potted lines. Do you remember potted
lines? I remember potted lines. I was explaining to this young lady what potted lines were. So potted lines and private lines. And nobody had private lines.
See, you couldn't afford private lines. Everybody had potted lines. And our friends, we would eavesdrop. Is that what we used to do?
Yeah. So I was explaining to her how you could be having a conversation and someone else could listen to
the whole conversation.
Yeah.
Now, can you imagine that now?
And that was entertaining as well.
That's right. And I remember one of our teachers was on our line. And she told my daddy that she thought I was listening in. And of course, I denied it, but I was. Well. But I know I didn't do that anymore. Yes, but our friends all up MacDowell. See, I guess they were on a certain line,
ma'am.
And so it was up the hill, you know, around.
Sure.
We were at the foot of 7th Street. You don't even know where that is, do you? You know, did you ever know where a Petty store was?
No, ma'am.
Did you ever know where Dr. Elsie Downing lived?
Yes, ma'am.
I was right there. He was at the top.
Top of the hill, yes, ma'am.
The minister lives in that house now, I think.
Yeah.
Dr. Bolden.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, okay. We were down right at the bottom.
I see.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And so all around there, we were on the same line, I guess.
So people in the community around the same time began to get telephones.
Phones about the same time.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Yeah, but I remember that phone because we used to knock each other down and run to answer it.
What about a refrigerator?
Well, you see, we had really progressed when we went from the icebox.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, you don't know anything about the
icebox. I don't know about the icebox.
Icebox, and when you put the card out and the man would leave a block of ice.
Block of ice, yeah.
All right, well, when we got the first refrigerator, we were really moving up. We were really getting high-class then. And followed that by, you know, a wash machine. Mom didn't have to wash on the board anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We were really getting up.
Yeah.
Getting real up. Uh-huh.
So all of these things were exciting.
They were. And we were grateful for them and appreciative of them.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yeah, they were very exciting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you felt like your quality of life was improving?
Was improving. That's right. We were getting better all the time.
Yes, ma'am.
And you see, after we got the fridge there, you could keep things longer.
Right.
I remember, see, with the icebox, when you couldn't have food at certain times of the year, and in the real cold weather, you'd set it out on the back porch. You know,
yes,
we had it closed in the back
mm-hmm.
porch. Set it out on the step.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, we didn't get sick from it like they do now with all the modern things that they have. We would set it out on the steps, and it would be covered up and stay cold and made nobody sick.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Well, good. Any other things that you remember that when you Venetian blinds, the telephone.
That sounds so simple, but that was big.
Well, if you didn't have it, no, that was a big thing. Yes, ma'am. Was there anything else that you remember that you got and it was just an exciting time in your household?
Well, no, not really, but we just enjoyed everything that we got, you know?
And the new things you got, you were very appreciative of.
Very appreciative of, and just enjoyed it.
Yes, ma'am.
Enjoyed it.
Yes, ma'am. So as you got older and before you went to Virginia State, life was getting better?
It was because, see, things were getting better. I remember we were doing things like, getting the charge accounts.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yes, ma'am.
We used to didn't have that.
Okay.
And I remember my mother got a charge account down at Spiegel or Pews or somewhere. Mm-hmm. We could go downtown.
Yes, ma'am.
And just get little things, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
It was getting better. And we were feeling it, too.
Well, that's good. When you were growing up, was your front porch a social area? Was that where your
friends
came?
That was a gathering place. That's right. And our house, I have friends today who were my friends then. Our house, by us being five of us, maybe where there was one child, they would come to our house.
That's right.
I have a very dear friend now who was at the church, and on Sundays she would come home with me.
Mm-hmm.
After church, stay for dinner, and when it was time for BYPU, you never heard of that, have you? BYPU.
No, ma'am.
Baptist Young People's Union.
Oh, no, ma'am. Okay.
Y'all don't have that name.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. So BYPU.
Baptist Young People's Union. I think now they call it Baptist Training Union.
I see.
I don't believe they even have it now.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Well, that met on Sunday evenings about 6 o'clock, somewhere like
okay.
that. And that's when we would come back down to the church for that.
Okay.
And stay for night service, you know.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
And all of our friends would gather there.
Okay.
And my mother used to say she would look around and be somebody else at the dinner table. She didn't even know they were there. But you know, it was always plenty of food.
Yes, ma'am.
And our friends were welcome.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so your house was sort of a gathering place.
Yes.
And our
friends and during the summer and when we would go to the fair and mm-hmm. places like that, we would all go together.
Together, yes, mm-hmm. ma'am.
My daddy, like I said, we didn't have anything to take vacations.
Sure.
But my daddy would take off a day and carry us to the fair.
I see.
And that was the big event of the summer.
Yeah.
To go to the fair.
And you look forward to that?
Yeah.
Sure.
And we would all get together and go to the fair.
Fair, yes, mm-hmm. ma'am.
That was a big day.
Yeah, and when you went to the fair, were there any instructions? I'll tell you why I asked this question. By the time I came along, there was this. I didn't know if it was a myth or if it was true about Eco and Ico, how people at the fair would steal you.
Yeah, would steal you.
Yes, uh-huh. ma'am.
But that's why we always went together.
Yeah.
We always went together, and Dad was always there to carry us.
Okay.
And we never walked around and talked to strangers to do anything. We all stayed together,
yes,
all bunched
ma'am.
Up together.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a powerful story.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And everybody believed that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even when I went to the fair, I mean, you know, as a child, Melbourne used to have to take me because, in the same thing, he would have to keep up with us.
Well, that's right.
Yes,
you couldn't
ma'am.
Stray.
No, you couldn't stray.
You certainly couldn't.
Yes, ma'am. What type of chores or work did you have to do, Miss Hunt, when you were growing up at home?
Oh, we had to do everything. There was no such thing as you cleaned your room.
Yes, ma'am.
You washed the dishes. Now, my mother never made us do anything that would keep us from doing our schoolwork
yeah.
or taking part in our activities, but we had to do that. That room had to be clean.
Yes, ma'am.
And we knew our chores. Mine was to clean the bathroom
mm-hmm.
and some to wash dishes. We all had different chores to do, but they never interfered with our
school
training
work.
And school
yeah.
because that was first in her mind.
Yeah.
But we did that in addition to doing our work at home.
Yes, ma'am.
And the front porch, I have a memory of the porch. I didn't clean it once.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother really, really wore me out about it. So now I have a thing about, I'll come out and clean the front porch if I won't clean the kitchen.
That made a lasting impression. But now tell me this, Miss Hunt, when you guys were growing up, y'all had a coal stove?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. And your brother, your father and your brother?
Would, you know, bring in the coal.
Yes, ma'am.
That's what I was saying. But see, after we got the furnace, the coal house became the hen house.
Oh, I see.
See, I said coal house at
yes,
first.
Ma'am.
You know when the trucks would pull up in the yard and dump all the coal in
yes,
there.
Ma'am.
And then you take the scuttle, is
sure.
that what you call it?
Yes, ma'am.
And go out and bring in
the
coal.
Yeah.
And you would, Harris Hardwood, that's what it was. You would get the wood and stack it up on the porch, on the back porch. And you made the fire then.
Okay, yeah.
And we had the heat roll, is that what you call it? Well, the big stove
yes,
before
ma'am.
We got the furnace, you know.
Okay.
And you had a stove in every room, upstairs and down and everywhere.
Yeah.
But we were warm.
Yeah. Now, when you got the furnace, was that oil furnace?
No, it was a coal furnace.
Oh, it was a coal furnace.
Coal
yes,
furnace,
ma'am.
You burned the coal
yes,
in that.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
And you had to go down in the basement.
Basement, okay. That was in the basement.
Uh-huh.
Yes, ma'am.
And make it up just like you would the coal fire in the stove.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. Now, in your family, Miss Hunt, what are there family stories that were passed down from generation to generation that you remember?
I can't really recall any particular stories. Any particular stories. But I know that there were certain things that we would just do.
Yes, ma'am.
At certain times when we would be having, like, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and all like that, there were just sort of certain rituals, but no particular stories.
No particular story.
And there were particular menus. My daughter even now says that Granny always had turnips with the turkey, and I don't have turnips, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
And she remembers that.
So she remembers that ritual.
Uh-huh.
Yes, ma'am.
Certain things like that, but
no particular stories. Okay. Were there any discussions in your family about ancestors who had lived during the period of slavery or the Civil War, anything like that?
No, I never got any of that history. I guess there were some.
Yes, ma'am.
But my father was an only child, and he came to Roanoke to work from Waynesboro.
Okay.
And I never really knew too much.
I see.
About the background of him,
yes,
of his
ma'am.
Background. But no real, no, I don't guess we had any.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. All right. You mentioned, ironically, you sort of answered this other question. It says, did you have a family recipe that was passed down through the generations? I heard you say Dawn always talked about your...
Oh, yeah, a turnip.
Yes, ma'am. Is there any recipes or anything?
Well, I'm not a cook.
Okay.
I'm an eater, though.
Yes, ma'am.
But I'm not a cook.
and
I haven't passed that on to my a child. I tell you, my mother did all the cooking. She never had anything to let us experiment with.
That's
it all had to be used for the purpose.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
So she did all the cooking while she would let us go and do the playing the pianos and take it. I even once tried to take some dancing lessons, you know, anything that was offered.
Yes,
you know, Miss Brombeck had a little dancing class.
Oh, okay.
And we went to that. And she would do all the cooking, and so I got a very little of that.
Yes, ma'am.
But she was some cook, I'm
telling
you. But we knew what we would have, and we all had the big Sunday dinners,
yes,
you know.
Yes, ma'am.
And we kept that up even until she passed.
I see.
We would go to her house. Every Sunday.
Oh, okay.
For the big family dinners.
Oh, okay. Even after you were married and had children?
Uh-huh.
Had Dawn?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And the children went there. We all went there.
Oh, I see.
And she cooked those good meals.
Good meals, yeah. So that was it.
And you know, Reggie, she could get up and cook those on Sunday mornings and still make Sunday morning church service. I've often wondered how does she do it?
Yeah.
Because when I get out on Sunday mornings, I can barely get a cup of coffee and a piece of toast. But she would, make rolls and cakes and things like that.
Ma'am.
And we would have big dinners. And yet she would be in the morning service at church also.
Yeah. That's remarkable.
We said she was some lady.
Yeah, she had to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Miss Hunt, did Mr. Hunt or your brother serve in the military?
Yes, they both did.
Okay.
My brother was in the Marines, and every time I hear something about Camp Lejeune, I think about him. And Jim Webb says he was in the Marines as he continues to campaign for the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in the Marines. But, and I think of my brother, and my husband was in the Navy.
He was in the Navy. Okay.
And I used to hear him tell of his tales over there.
About the Navy, yeah.
Yeah, about the Navy.
Did your brother have a good experience in the Marine Corps?
Well, he seemed to have, as far as I know.
Yes, ma'am.
He seemed to have had, and then when he came out of there, I think that's when he went to Bluefield State.
I see.
Still, after that, he went to NYU. He kept going.
He kept going.
Going because he was, when he passed, he was a physical therapist at the VA hospital.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right. And Mr. Hunt served in the Navy.
Yes.
Okay. Did he seem to enjoy that experience?
Oh, from what he talked about, you would have thought that he was the commander in chief.
Mr. Hunt was a good. Well, he could tell stories.
He was quite comical.
Yes, he was quite comical. Yes, ma'am. He certainly was.
I remember at his funeral, Reverend Wilkinson made some remark that the whole church just cracked up.
Yeah.
Something that Alaska told
him. Yes, ma'am. Now, can I ask you about that? Because your husband is the only person I've ever known named Alaska.
We don't know where his mother got that name from.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
We used to just tease him and say that evidently she wanted to travel. I had a longing to go to Alaska. We don't know. And that was really his name,
yes,
Alaska.
Ma'am. Alaska Hunt. Yes, ma'am.
That's right.
Well, even as a child, that struck me. And I never would ask my parents about it,
well,
right?
Well, see, because you all wouldn't do things. But
yes,
now
right.
The children would ask
me. They would ask about it. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
And Richard, his middle name was Colt. Colt. We don't know why the lady got the name. And he grew up with people calling him AC because he didn't like
that.
Alaska.
I see. Okay.
AC.
Okay. 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 I didn't know that. Okay. Now, do you have a fond childhood memory? For example, a holiday event, a family vacation, a gift, something that really sticks out when you were growing up?
I don't know. I had a lot of really nice experiences. Let me tell you one. Doesn't seem like important. You know, there was a time when styles were important to girls.
Yes, ma'am.
And there was, this style was a coat, the hooded coat, the long hooded coat.
Okay.
And all of my friends, my best girlfriends had gotten a hoodie coat. I didn't have one. And I was sort of hurt by that. I didn't have a coat. And one day I came in, this was my dear Aunt Sally. I came in from school and she was living on Madison Avenue. And I told you, we would make our daily visits.
Sure.
And when I came in, after school, I came by and Sally said, "Honey, go upstairs and look on the bed and bring me that bag down here." And I got up and went upstairs and brought the box down. And she said, "Look in there and see what it is." I looked in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a hooded coat.
Yes, ma'am.
I was never so happy in my life because I had what my friends had.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, that doesn't seem like a big thing to kids now because they have everything.
Sure.
But that was...
Oh,
and
yeah.
that was the way our aunts did it.
Yeah.
She knew that I was upset over not having this coat.
Yeah.
And I never will forget it. She got it from Shoes United. That was a store down on Camel Avenue.
Okay.
Nobody knew that. But that's what the bag said.
Yes, ma'am.
And that was this coat in
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
And that meant so much to me.
Yeah.
So much.
Well, families used to really do that. That happened a lot in my family as well. If you wanted something, your parents couldn't afford it.
And I remember when I was at Virginia State, now this was my Aunt Helen who lived with us, but she had moved to, during the war, a lot of the people went to Washington and Connecticut around to get better jobs. And Aunt Helen eventually ended up back here with me and living in Pass, but I was at Virginia State, now this is, I'm a big girl then. and the choir was getting ready to go on tour. And we were in chapel. It was during Religious Emphasis Week. And now I know you wonder why I remember so vividly. And everybody was talking about what they were going to wear on this choir tour. Well, I knew that it was nothing in Roanoke to get. I sat there in the choir, and on the back of the church bulletin, I guess you would call it now, I wrote a Helen. I wrote a letter, and I told her that the choir was going on tour, and I wish I had something to wear like the other girls.
Yes, ma'am.
When chapel was over, I mailed that letter, and in 2 or 3 days, I got a long-distance telephone call. Well, that was unheard of. I don't think I'd ever been called long distance at school. And down the steps I came in Barrett Hall at Virginia State to answer the phone. It was Aunt Helen. She says, look, baby, I got your letter.
Yes,
and Auntie just wanted to let you know you're going to have something new to wear like the other girls.
Yeah.
Now stop worrying about it and go and get your letter.
Yeah.
And she sent me
sent
me a suit.
Yeah.
Some black patent leather shoes, white blouse. And
right.
I had it.
Yes,
now, those are dear. And when she got so she couldn't live alone.
Yes, ma'am.
And her minister called me and said, I'm bringing her to you.
And
I kept her.
Yes, ma'am.
I kept her.
Yeah.
I remember those days.
Well, those are special times. And I mean, I think, you know, the story behind that is that they really wanted you to focus on your work.
On your work. And so, she didn't want me to be upset about what she said. I want to put you at ease.
Yeah.
Go on and get your lesson.
Yeah.
You're going to have something to wear like the other girls.
Yeah.
And she did.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, it reminds me of when I was at Virginia State and my grandmother Thomas always did domestic work, right?
Yes.
Well, I got to the point I didn't particularly, you know, we were a different generation, so I didn't particularly like my grandmother working for white people.
That's right.
Right. And so I made this, but I always liked to dress, Miss Hunt. So I made I made this announcement one time. I came home. I said, Grandma, you're 70 years old. You ride the bus every day. You don't have to do that. And I don't particularly like for you to work for white people. I guess it's domestics. And first thing she told me, she said, well, Reggie, you know all the people, and they treat me well. They treat me with respect. And I said, yes, ma'am. Because she was deconstructing my argument.
Oh,
so she started off with that. And then, Miss Hunt, she hit me with, and you know all those nice clothes you like to wear.
Where
you think they're coming from? So but that was a real good lesson for me.
Yeah,
it was a real good lesson for me, and it also taught me that just like your aunt was making sacrifices so that you could have nice things, and again focus on your work and not feel in any way incomplete. That was what people did, because that's exactly what my grandmother
was doing. That's right. And they really, really did do that.
Yes, ma'am.
And these grandmothers are something.
Yes,
again.
Ma'am. Uh-huh. Yeah, they are. Yeah.
I'm at the point in my life now where I'm experiencing that.
Yeah, and I know you're a good grandmama.
I don't know about that, but I know I'm experiencing it.
What are your memories of the Gainsborough Library and Miss Lee?
Oh, bless her darling heart. Miss Lee did everything in the world for us.
Yes, ma'am.
It was right along over in the corner, right along in here somewhere. They messed up around here, so I can't even get my bearing. But it was in the bottom of the Y, you know.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And Miss Lee was just everything to us. We went there. She not only did she help us with our work and how to use the library and everything, but she was such a lady of grace.
Yes, ma'am.
She taught us good manners. Mm-hmm. She taught us how to be ladies,
sure.
And we just learned to love Virginia Y. Lee.
Yes, ma'am.
That's a name in this town to people in my age group that's revered and honored with great respect.
Yes, ma'am.
She taught us so much.
Yeah.
And she was such a gracious lady.
Mm-hmm.
We had such wonderful role models and ladies like that.
Yes, ma'am.
And we loved Miss Lee. But she didn't take no stuff off of us. She didn't take no stuff off of us then. We had to walk the chalk and do the right thing. But she was kind.
Yeah.
She instructed us, and she made us be ladies.
Yes, ma'am.
Ladies.
Yeah. I think she had
to talk about the card catalog and all that stuff. They don't even call it that.
No, ma'am. No, they don't call it that. No, ma'am. But yeah, I think I know she had a big influence over my mother, and yes, I think my mother used her as a role model.
Yes, I'm sure your mother did.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Were there other people in the community when you were growing up that you thought of as role models?
Well, you know, Reggie, our teachers and our ministers were always our role models.
Yes, ma'am.
And we respected them. Oh, just think of people like Reverend A.L. James. Mm-hmm. There was a church over here, and my pastor, Reverend D.R. Powell.
Okay.
And people like Miss Sly. I remember Miss Sly carried me. I'm still having teeth problems. Miss Sly carried me to the Dillon Clinic up in Burrow.
Okay.
And Dr. Fears.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Fears' husband was the dentist.
Oh, I see.
I remember he started pulling a tooth of me and it hurt, and I jumped out the chair and ran back down to Hurston School. Miss Sly didn't do a thing but come right on over there and just beckoned me out the room, and I jumped up and jumped in the and went on back
went
up
on
there.
Back up. Yes, ma'am.
But I respected all of my teachers, and you know I dearly loved Eunice Poindexter.
Yes, ma'am.
I loved her unto death, mm-hmm, because she was the choral teacher at Addison, and see, that's where my interest was.
I see.
But I respected all of my teachers. Miss Zeta Lawson, Miss Ella Mae King.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know those names.
Now I knew
Miss Eula Hackley.
Okay.
Oh, great souls, souls. Miss Ann Seitz Morrison.
Okay.
She was my teacher. When she got married, we got married.
Well,
we loved her so we didn't even want her to
get
married. That's how we felt about our teachers.
Yes,
really, we did. We were upset because we thought that if she married, she wouldn't like us like she.
Exactly. And all these were intelligent, strong women.
Yes.
Yeah.
That we just admired and loved.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, they were strong women.
Yes, ma'am.
And we wanted to be like them.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember a lot. I remember Miss King and Miss Lawson.
Okay.
And, of course, Nancy Fears and I are the same age.
So you remember Miss Fears.
Yes,
okay,
ma'am. I remember Miss Fears. So it's quite a few of them that you mentioned. Actually, they were at Addison when I was
Eunice
at Addison.
Miss Cooper. Was she there? You don't remember her.
But Miss Poindexter, I remember her.
Okay, and Miss Lawson, Miss Elme.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Elme King.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And you're right, they were all strong, they were disciplinarians.
That's right.
They were fair. But
this is it, they were so fair. We would say that Miss Poindexter was so fair that we believe if her mama was late for choir rehearsal, she would put her mama on.
That's right. That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, she was so fair. And that we learned to respect her for.
Yeah.
You told the line.
Yeah. Well, Coach Day and I were talking about this whole issue of punctuality, being on time. And that was something that I got from my parents, and he talked about it, and Eunice Poindexter,
right,
you had to be on time.
Reggie, would you believe that when we would get ready to go to the music festival at Virginia State College, we would have extra rehearsals?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, she would call a rehearsal at 7 o'clock in the morning. When the north and western whistle would blow at 7 o'clock, mm-hmm, she would get up and close the door. Nobody came in after that.
Yes, ma'am.
But we were all in our seats. Because we wanted to be in the choir and go to the music festival.
Exactly.
And when the whistle blew, she closed the door.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting phenomenon. And I was telling Coach Day, that's the one thing that I see with my children.
Okay.
My children think, you know, they've learned all these big words now, so they'll sometimes say, "Dad, you're sort of neurotic about time, right?" but I've got to be places 15 or 20 minutes early.
That's right.
And they feel comfortable getting there five minutes, right, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I tell my son all the time, I say, that, well, you don't know if there's going to be an accident
or what
can happen.
That's
yeah.
right.
And it just goes right past him.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he gets places, but he's never early.
And he'll be on time,
but he won't
have no time to spare.
That's right. That's right. And I worry about him about that.
That is so
precious.
Ma'am.
What were some community leaders that you remember? And this is either in childhood or in your adult life.
Well, you know, the one community leader that I hold in dear respect was my pastor, Reverend Wilkinson.
Yes, ma'am.
And you see, during the time that he was really making the moves for integration and in this community, you see, a lot of those times I was out there with him because he would carry the church choir.
Yes, ma'am.
And I had the greatest respect for Reverend Wilkinson and those who moved with him. Now, some weren't so outstanding as far as the community was concerned, but they were there with him to give him the backing that, he needed. And I held him in, high regard.
Yes, ma'am.
And, well, you see, our leaders, like I say, were our ministers, and they were the ones out there with our educators doing the work for us. Yes, and there were others in the NAACP and things like Mr. Holler. And let me think. It was another man. Who was Mr. Hutzona? Mr. Hutzona. I can't get that straight. My mind is failing me. But he was out there, too.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing, you know, we live right down the street from Reverend Wilkinson. I mean, they live on Staunton.
And yeah, and you were you on 13th Street.
Yes, ma'am. So I grew up with Nadine and Cassandra.
Oh, yes. But do you know every year they on his birthday and Father's Day, they send flowers to the church?
Oh, really?
And it was just this past June 18th is his birthday.
Yes, ma'am.
And I went in church, and this gorgeous flower arrangement was on the organ.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And I kept looking at it, and I looked at those flowers. And finally I said to one of the ushers, what does that card say? And it said, you know, in memory of him from the girls and
yes,
all.
Ma'am.
And then Reverend Stone finally announced it.
Yeah.
And I looked at them so, and Reggie, you would not believe, I said, finally I interrupted the service. I said, Pastor, I'm just having an emotional feeling now.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm looking at those flowers. I said, would you allow me, incidentally, they have named me a music director emeritus. I said, would you allow me as music director emeritus to exert my influence? I would like to change the meditation hymn to one of Reverend Wilkinson's favorite hymns.
Oh, good. Yes,
and he said, yes, surely. And I told him what number it was.
Yeah.
And we just had a wonderful experience.
Yes, ma'am.
And those flowers were from Nadine and Cassandra. So you do remember.
Yes, ma'am, I remember. Well, I always thought, you know, as it was always tough, I assume, growing up to be the children of a minister. Reverend Wilkinson was a leader, and I remember Nadine and Cassandra, they were people who helped integrate schools around.
You remember that there's a picture, I think the World News still carries it and shows it every once in a while, when their mother led them up to Melrose School.
That's what it was, yeah.
And Reverend Wilkinson was out of town on that day. I remember that. And I said to my husband then, I said, look, you get up and go over on Melrose because Yuba Senior was the name we called Yuba. I said, Yuba's going to be carrying the girls to school. And then the marches told me that their mother said the same thing to her husband. Get up and go over on Melrose because she's got to carry those children to school.
Yes, ma'am.
And I guess for protection for her.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes, they surely did. They integrated Melrose School.
Yeah, and I remember that. See it. And, you know, and I'm going to Harrison and my mother's there, so it's very comfortable for me. But I can remember Nadine and Cassandra. And, you know, as I've grown older, I can understand the sort of stress that, was in that family.
In that family. That's right. It was. And, you know, it was even stressful for the church. Remember, we had to put that door on the garage, you know, the one that rises
up.
Yes,
ma'am.
Because he would be out at night, and we worried about him coming in.
It
was a strain.
And
even to go with him on the choirs when he would go on these meetings, it caused stress in, even our personal home. Because my husband did not want me doing that. Once he told Reverend Wilkinson that, he said, she's not going. He said, because, see, she's going to keep on following you, and she's not going to have a job. And so Reverend told him, well, then that would give us a case. And I remember Lasker said, but we don't have, you know, cases ain't going to feed us.
Well, yeah, and I don't think it
may stress all the way around.
All the way around, mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, as you look back on those events and people like me have benefited from it, and certainly generations afterwards, you don't think about the stress and the strain that they put on families, that they put on communities.
That's right.
Again, that was a lot on Nadine and Cassandra to integrate a school.
That's right. It was. Bless their heart.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, you know, we don't think about it. And you have to talk to people like you. See, I mean, I never would have thought it makes perfect sense, but the kind of stress it put on your family,
Mr. Hunt,
Mr. Hunt, because I can hear Elmer Thomas saying the same thing. I mean, keeping the job was the main thing.
That's right. And yeah. Here I'm going to run out here and play the piano with you marching and carrying on.
I can remember once my Uncle Bunny, you know, who cooked on the railroad.
I knew Bunny Leo Moe.
Yeah, well, Bunny had a alcohol problem, and he fell out. You know, cooking.
On the road. Uh-huh.
And, I mean, this is the late 60s, and my mother's going to go down here and talk to the people about getting Bunny his job back. And I can remember my father telling her, don't do it. And then he told us, Maxine, well, if you're going to do it, don't be smart with the people because I can lose my job. And so, I mean, that was a big issue.
Yeah,
that was a real, real big issue. Uh-huh. And I can understand Mr. Hunt saying, well, case is fine, but that's not going to put the thing on the table. Yes, ma'am. And so they've got a question on here about segregation and the civil rights movement. And any memories about Gainesboro or urban renewal in the area?
Well, now you see urban renewal destroyed my church.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, that was a big thing for us, and we felt like we never got what our church was worth to us. And we had to go to Addison School for 2 years to worship. You know, we worshiped in the school until we could get the little church that we have over here now.
Exactly.
And it's a nice little church, but it's not the church that our old church was.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Urban renewal really, really did put a hurting on us at our church. And we were unhappy about it.
Yeah.
Very unhappy about it.
Yeah.
And I just think of all of this area. You know, when I go around down here, sometimes I actually get sick.
Yes, ma'am.
But we have learned to pick up the pieces and move on with the times. But urban renewal really did tear us up.
Yes, ma'am.
It really, really did.
Yeah. And I think people would have to be from this community to understand.
And to feel it.
To feel it, yeah.
You will never know how I felt when Burl.
Yes, ma'am.
Went out.
Yes, ma'am.
I was raised playing up on the, where the new part is, where Carillion has its.
Sure.
That was like the tennis court, and we used to play on that area.
Ma'am. Yeah.
And my father was sick a lot. Mm. And those great nurses like Miss Willis and Miss Sims and Miss Moore, they nursed him to help. And when that place went out of existence,
yes, ma'am.
I was hurt.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I think, I don't know if you're familiar with this lady. She's a psychiatrist, or a professor of psychiatry, Mindy Fuller Love. But she's come to Roanoke several times and talked to people about the psychological and emotional impact of this very thing. And I'm glad that Mindy has done that because she records it. Because nobody, when people see urban renewal, they'll see new buildings or whatever.
And they think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And it is in that way, but what it has done to get to that.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
And I really do. Burl was really dear to
ma'am.
Us.
Yeah.
And I was never happy.
Yes, ma'am.
And yet I go there to the Carillion doctor.
Okay.
And I tell them, I said, well, I'm sitting in the area of the emergency room, or I'm, and those little nurses look at me as if this is some woman out of.
Yes, ma'am.
But it was quite a strain on us when we had to give up.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of the institutions that people had invested in, and they have memories, and nobody gave the black community those things. People really built those things up.
Yeah. Bridget, think of all the things that we had.
Yes, ma'am.
You could go almost across this strip. There was the drugstores.
Yeah.
The theater.
Yeah.
The hotels.
Yes, ma'am.
think of Dr. Brooks and Dr. Rock, all those things.
Yes, ma'am.
And we don't have that
anymore, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, they did destroy the community, and it destroyed vital institutions.
Yes, it did. It took everything we had.
Yes, ma'am.
And I can almost feel the hurt now to even talk about it.
Yes, mm-hmm. ma'am. Well, Ms. Hunt, I got one final question in closing. Is there anything else that we didn't cover that you would like to share with me today or share with this for this oral history?
I don't know of anything that I could share with you, Reggie, but I think this is a wonderful thing.
Yes, ma'am.
Because our children really don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
And they don't know what a lovely place we have here in the Roanoke.
Yes, ma'am.
But they will never know if we don't give it to them this way.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many little things I hear. Even in the, of course, you know, music is my, but they don't, our children don't know the hymns of the church.
Right.
Our children don't know spirituals.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, just so many things. Even with my grandchildren that I talk about, and they laugh sometimes when I'm saying these things.
Sure.
And there's just so much, I guess, that's so dear to us that I guess our children will never know. And once I heard, and I'm going to stop now, once I heard them talking about they were going to teach the children the national anthems, and the parents were raving about that. Years ago, we taught all of that.
That's right.
We did a unit on it.
Yeah.
And every child knew the national anthem, My Country, Tis of the American People.
Right.
But our children don't know those songs now.
Well, I think that's, and thus they're disconnected from the society.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's what schools and churches and other institutions did. They reinforce these things,
That's the word. That's
right. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
And so the children really miss it. They don't have an appreciation
for
these things, or even for an institution like this. And I think that's one of the reasons a project like this is real important.
And Mrs. Lewis is just about to flip. She's so excited over it all.
Yes, ma'am, she is
really.
Yeah.
And she's so grateful and appreciative. But she has done such a lovely job here.
She has.
At this library.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, she.
And I certainly hope we can keep our library here now.
Well, I hope so too. I mean, I really hope so.
Yeah, it's lovely, and we are enjoying it.
Yes, ma'am.
And we call and ask her to do all kinds of things.
But she's Carla's she's what I would think a librarian should be.
Well, the class of 56, and that was my sister's class, Jackie's class, my younger sister who passed.
Yes, ma'am.
Had a reunion. And one of the members called and said, we're going to have a souvenir booklet, and would you like to remember your sister? And I'm talking too much. And and I called her, and I said, I want something beautiful about sisters.
Yes, ma'am.
Something beautiful. Send me two things that were just outstanding.
Okay, good.
I wear all the time.
She's good. Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you so much, Miss Hunt.
Is that the Lady Rice for the paper?
Yes, ma'am.
That's what I was looking at. Oh, I like your articles, darling. I've never seen you in person. Hello. I'm pleased to meet. Oh, Lord, I'm going off on something else.